In the context of this verse, hatred of profit refers to the judicial capacity to hate the introduction of any aspect that could bias the judge in a particular case. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 83, Selflessness, Self-Interest, and the Federalist. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is one of the most famous passages in what is probably the most famous of the Federalist Papers. Madison writes, "As long as the reason of man continues fallible and he is at liberty to exercise it, different opinions will be formed. As long as the connection subsists between his reason and his self-love, his opinions and his passions will have a reciprocal influence on each other, and the former will be objects to which the latter will attach themselves. The diversity in the faculties of men, from which the rights of property originate, is not less an insuperable obstacle to a uniformity of interests." So we are told in Federalist 10, and the point is profound. Human beings are invariably, inevitably different. They form different opinions, at times because they see things differently, and at times because their own self-interests impact their own approach to economic matters as well as other issues. Madison is describing human difference not in order to decry it, but in order to protect it. Madison is arguing that the Constitution was created not only in order to facilitate self-government, but also in order to protect human difference, not only to facilitate the rule of elections, but also to prevent the tyranny of the majority. And in the midst of all this, as Yuval Levin has pointed out, the purpose of the Constitution and its system is also to encourage Americans with different viewpoints to compromise. The framers of the Constitution, in other words, do not overlook self-interest, but attempt to find a way in which greater unity can be fostered without denying this difference, as well as the inevitable biases that make themselves manifest among human beings. We bear this in mind as we examine our mitzvah for the day, which, like several other mitzvot that we have discussed this week, relates to judges and judging. Our mitzvah embodies a notion with which Madison would assuredly agree, that judges must seek to avoid, as best they can, any motivation of self-interest in overseeing and adjudicating a court case. But the Jewish notion of jurisprudence also advances another notion with which Madison would most assuredly also agree, that in addressing litigants, it is often admirable for compromise to be sought, and that self-interest can even be a tool in facilitating this compromise and more peaceful relationships among members of a body politic. Our mitzvah for today is a seemingly simple one. Bribes are bad. It is forbidden for judges to take bribes. This is explicitly stated in Exodus and re-declared in Deuteronomy. While the commandment seems incredibly obvious, for the rabbis, this prohibition is meant to include a case where a judge assumes that a bribe can be taken without the money swaying the adjudication in any way. This still is a grievous sin. The medieval codification of the mitzvot, Sefer HaChinuch, the Book of Education, puts it as follows: that the judge not take a bribe from the litigants, even to judge truthfully, as it is stated, Exodus 23:8, and you shall not take a bribe. And this negative commandment is repeated in the Torah about this matter in another place, Deuteronomy 16:19. This is the Sefaria translation of the medieval work, which goes on to cite a classical rabbinic teaching: you shall not take a bribe, even to make the innocent innocent and the liable liable. A judge must avoid any incentive, any scintilla of self-interest when it comes to the case. The virtue of judges, the qualifications that are to be sought in those overseeing Judaic jurisprudence, are embodied, according to the Talmud, in the words addressed to Moses by his father-in-law Jethro, as Jethro asks his son-in-law to find colleagues that will help him judge the people. V'yata techazeh mikol ha'am anshei chayel yirei Elokim, anshei emet, sone batza. And you shall find from all the people men of valor those that fear God, men of truth, that hate profits. Sone bata means, literally, those that hate monetary incentive. The point is not, of course, that judges must be against making a living or must live their lives devoid of self-interest. In the context of this verse, hatred of profit refers to the judicial capacity to hate the introduction of any aspect that could bias the judge in a particular case. But here is what is interesting. While it is the job of the judge to pursue the truth in a judicial manner, at the same time, at least according to one prominent opinion in the Talmud, a Jewish court in a monetary case is encouraged to ask the litigants to find, with the help of the court, a compromise. If the litigants refuse, then the judges will deliver a verdict based solely on the letter of the law. But compromise is considered a virtue because, as the Talmud tells us, peace among members of society is itself something to be celebrated and sought. Strikingly, etymologically, the word utilized in the Talmud for compromise is very similar to that utilized in the Torah for profit. Bata, or betza, is monetary gain, and when it comes to litigation, the Talmud, in one opinion, insists mitzvah liftsoa, it is a mitzvah to compromise. The verb often appears as well in rabbinic descriptions of meals. The act of bitziah is of dividing a loaf of bread so that each party gets a piece. The point behind this linguistic link is that even as judges, when asked to deliver a verdict, must look only to the truth and avoid all self-interest, they can ask the litigants first to compromise and to know that each one will consider his or her own self-interest in agreeing to compromise, for each party does not know which way the verdict will ultimately go. Thus can self-interest be itself utilized as a tool for peaceable relations among human beings. The preferment of peace is often misunderstood. At times we hear talk of peace in a context in which evil is allowed to endure. This is not something to be celebrated. Ronald Reagan, speaking once at Arlington Cemetery, made this point when he said that, quote, peace also fails when we forget to bring to the bargaining table God's first gift to man, common sense. Common sense gives us a realistic knowledge of human beings and how they think, how they live in the world, what motivates them. Common sense tells us that man has magic in him, but also clay. Common sense can tell the difference between right and wrong. And he also added, we endanger the peace and confuse all issues when we obscure the truth and when we refuse to name an act for what it is. End quote. Peace in the world cannot be sought if we ignore evil. But peace among human beings and society can be found when in economic matters, in litigious disputes, claims are renounced and peace can result. This is the perspective of Madison, who defended a constitution in which representation is given to different states, different factions, but then asked them to compromise amongst one another. My family and I often remember when we journeyed with dear friends to Montpelier, Madison's home, and in his study, the guide noted that we were standing in a site that was, for government, akin to what the patent office of Einstein was for physics. It was a place where a political genius helped elucidate the American vision of government. In the Constitution, as our figure of the week, Justice Scalia, often noted, the best defense of liberty is a governmental system that ensures that a large percentage of the people or their representatives will come together before a law is made and a policy is applied. It is a system that allows for difference and seeks compromise. Judges, in judging, must seek the truth, but among people, peace is also a virtue. We abandon self-interest where inappropriate, but we cannot deny its existence in human beings. And so we can end our mitzvah podcast for the day by celebrating the endurance of the Constitution and the Madisonian vision. This is Meir Soloveitchik wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Looking forward to learning together next week. Signing off.